Philippians chapter 3, that we're going to read verse 10 alone, and to consider today what it means to know the Christ of Easter. So Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, this is the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's a little song we sometimes hear at Christmas time. It says, "It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas." Well, it's beginning to look a lot like Easter. You know how I know? Because I was at the mall the other day, and the Easter Bunny was dancing in the middle of the mall. I said, it must be that time of year. You see all around you, you go out in the stores, and there's bunnies and eggs and baskets and candy and flowers and all those pastel things that represent to our society that Easter is here. But to the child of God, the real significance of Easter ought to so surpass and so dwarf those cultural expressions that they become virtually insignificant and unnoticeable to us. Easter for the Christian is a time of reflection, meditation, prayer, and devotion where we contemplate and reflect upon the amazing triumph and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and His victory over sin and death for us. Easter for us is a celebration of all that Christ has accomplished on our behalf. His sinless life, in which He satisfied the righteous standard of God that we could never satisfy. His sacrificial death, in which He died on Calvary's cross for our sins, bearing the wrath that we deserve. And His glorious resurrection, by which He conquered sin and death for us forever, making His righteousness available to us in exchange through faith in Him. So Easter brings all these things to the mind of the Christian like a wave breaking over us, shaking us out of our complacency, our indifference, and our spiritual anemia. Easter should be a wake-up call that says, if Christ did all this for me, the only appropriate response that I can offer is to live every moment of my life for Him. And that's not a decision that a person makes one time, long ago, here at a church altar or somewhere else. It's a decision that's made moment by moment every day of our lives. It's a great time of year to revisit our commitment to Christ and rededicate ourselves to Him afresh. In fact, so significant is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that the early church did not consider His resurrection something to be celebrated once a year. In fact, one of the primary reasons that Christians have traditionally made Sunday our day of worship is so that we could commemorate His victory over sin and death every week. So some people say, well, Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. No, Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's the day of Christ's victory. It's the day that He triumphed over death. And so every week we have an Easter celebration to consider afresh, one day out of every seven, what it means that Christ has conquered death for us. Now, Easter is also a great time for a person who's never come to know the Lord to come to know Him and experience His saving grace for the very first time. But in fact, it's never a bad time to do that. But at Easter, oftentimes we're speaking more about His death, His resurrection, and that's really shame on us for not speaking about those things more often. But Easter also presents us as Christians with a very natural opportunity to share our faith with others. I was reading something that said that an overwhelming number of people who do not attend church on a regular basis would gladly accept the invitation of a friend or family member to come with them. Well, Easter is a good time for you to invite someone to come. come to Good Friday service, come to Easter Sunday service. In that same thing I was reading, it said that about people coming, some 80-something percent, I think, of people who would come if they were invited. It also said that somewhere between 10 and 20% of those who call themselves atheists or agnostics will attend church on Easter Sunday. And so invite anyone, invite everyone to join you. In fact, we are not just asking you to invite your friends and family, but to help us get out into the community, invite everyone who lives within the shadow of this steeple and beyond to come and be here for our Easter service. Anytime is a good time to invite people to come with you to church, but Easter gives us a very natural opportunity. Now, as we move closer and closer to that day, we're leaving the gospel according to John just for a week or two and focusing on some other passages to help us prepare our hearts for a celebration of the resurrection. And so today we're here in Philippians 3:10, considering what it means to know the Christ of Easter. The Apostle Paul was writing these words near the end of his life. It's believed by many that he was born between the year 0 and the year 5 AD, and that he was in his mid-30s, perhaps, when he became a follower of Christ. And at the time that this letter was written to the Philippians, Paul had been serving the Lord for some 20 or 30 years. And after that long a period of ministry, the deep cry of his heart is still the same. He expresses it here in these words, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. What does that mean? Well, for one thing, we need to differentiate between what it means to know Christ and to know something about Christ. Paul's not saying, oh, I wish I had more information about Jesus. I wish I could enroll in some higher level academic courses where I could learn about theological issues and controversies. I've often told people that if they want to go to seminary or Bible college just to learn about the Lord, they might be disappointed in how little time is spent on those subjects. It's possible for a person to learn a lot about Christ and never really know Christ. I'm an avid fan of ice hockey. Grown up loving the game. When I have the time, I enjoy going to games. Whenever I can, I watch them on TV. I read about it almost daily. I study the game. I guess you could say I know a lot about it. But the very embarrassing truth is that I can barely stand up on ice skates. And I've never actually played the game in my life. I know a lot about it. But I've never known the game in a way that I can say that I've experienced it. Oh, I know a lot about the game's greatest players. I can tell you about their lives and their careers, but I've never met them personally. I don't know them in that way. If you were in an airport and you saw Wayne Gretzky, you say, hey, I heard about you from Russ Reeves. He would say, I don't know him, and he doesn't know me. When Paul says, I want to know Christ, he doesn't mean he wants to know about Christ or gain more information about him. He means he wants to know him. He wants to have a personal experience of walking in the knowledge of Christ. Now, it's true that we come to know Christ the moment that we are saved. We describe it that way. I can tell you that I came to know the Lord July 31st, 1992 at Fort Caswell. Before that day, I didn't know him at all. And that day I came to know him. For Paul, it was the journey to Damascus where he was setting out to persecute Christians. And Acts chapter 9 tells us the story of his miraculous encounter there with the risen Lord Jesus. And instantly, Paul came to know the Lord. For some of you, you can remember the time and the place when you came to know the Lord. Others maybe can't remember the specific details, but you know that it happened because of the impact it had on your life. Others maybe have not yet come to know him. It could be that even this day you come to know the Lord. But at the point that a person comes to know the Lord, that's the beginning of a relationship. A relationship that will deepen and develop over the course of our lifetimes as we walk with Christ by faith. In Christ, there is, as F.F. Bruce says, an inexhaustible fullness. So Christians can say that we have come to know him, We are coming to know Him more deeply, more intimately, and one day we will know Him even as we are known to Him. I met my wife in July of 1994. We've known each other for now, 22 years. We've been married for 19 years almost. But she would agree with me in saying that we know each other much more deeply today than we ever have before, and that our knowledge of one another grows even daily still. Many of you have been married longer than I may have even been alive, and you would agree that as time goes by, you just come to know each other more and more with each passing day. So it is in our relationship with Christ. I came to know Christ 24 years ago, but I know Him much more deeply today, after 24 years of walking with Him, than I ever have. You grow in that relationship with Him, in your knowledge of Him, in your daily experience of His presence and power in your life. And so for Paul, after some 20 years or more of walking with Christ, his greatest desire is still to know Christ more and more fully until that moment when we stand before Him face to face. So how can we know this Christ of Easter in our daily lives? Paul says that as he goes through the days of his life, he deeply desires to know two specific things in his walk with Christ. Number one, the power of his resurrection. And number two, the fellowship of his suffering. So consider what it means to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. Now, Paul's not just saying here that he wants to know for sure that there's going to be an experience at the end of his life in which he'll be raised up from the dead. Now, he does hope for that, and he does have assurance of that, and he says that even in verse 11. He speaks of his hope of attaining the resurrection of the dead. But here, his focus is on the daily experience of the power of God, that same power that raised Christ up from death. This Christ who has conquered death for us has come to dwell in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And that means that we have unlimited supernatural power available to us here and now. And that power enables us to rise above our natural desires, our weaknesses, our tendencies, and our habits. The opportunity is available for every Christian to yield to God moment by moment of every day and say, Lord, I can't do this in my own strength, in the power of my own flesh. So I want to know the power that conquered even death so that Christ might bring me through this moment that I'm in. Knowing the resurrection power of Christ means that there is nothing that this day or any other will bring your way that God cannot handle in your life in the power of the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. There is no challenge, no obstacle, no trial, no temptation in which you cannot have victory through the power of His resurrection. Now, that sounds great, doesn't it? But we feel defeated because in our daily lives, we are often overwhelmed by things that seem to defeat us and master us. It is because we have not yet exhausted the fullness of the riches of knowing Christ. None of us have an advanced degree in this. None of us have mastered the material. After 24 years or more of walking with Christ, Paul said, "This is still what I want to know. I don't know it well enough yet, but as I learn to depend on Christ and His resurrection power in my time of need, I begin to experience victory in these things more and more. Every time I experience defeat, I'm reminded of how desperately I need to know Him and the power of His resurrection." And so when those defeats whet our appetites and increase our appetite and our thirst to know Him more, we can even thank God for the defeats because they awakened us to a new longing to know the power of Christ even more. So, how are you going to overcome that besetting sin that continues to plague your life? Resurrection power, the power that brought Christ up from the dead, will give you victory over your besetting sin. How are you going to handle that difficult person, that antagonistic person who ridicules you for your faith? Resurrection power. How are you going to handle the discouragement that sets in when wave upon wave of bad news overwhelms you? It is through resurrection power that we face those things. So here is Paul writing from prison in Rome, not knowing if he's going to live or die. How's he going to handle that? He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Because if Christ conquered death through this unlimited power, then there's nothing that I'm going to face that I can't have victory over as well if I yield to him in that moment. To know the Christ of Easter is to know him in the power of his resurrection. But it's not only that. In fact, the very reason that we need this resurrection power in our lives is testimony to this other aspect in which Paul desires to know Christ, and that is, he says, in the fellowship of his sufferings. If there weren't any opportunities for suffering, there would be no need for resurrection power. If there had not been a cross of Christ, there would be no empty tomb of Christ. So we're tempted to hear Paul saying here, I want to know Christ. And we smile and close our eyes. We say, yes, Lord. Yes, I want to know you. Yes. Paul says, in the power of his resurrection, we say, amen, hallelujah. Yes, we want that. Yes. And he says, in the fellowship of his suffering. And we say, wait, what? I didn't sign up for suffering. Well, you didn't have to sign up for it. God actually chose to give it to you. In chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 29. For to you it has been granted, for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Well, have you ever gotten a gift you didn't want? You know, at Christmas time, you sometimes say, did you happen to save the receipt for this? Is there someone I can re-gift it to? None of us signed up for this suffering. But the fact of the matter is that suffering is a part of life in this fallen world, in these corruptible bodies. Everybody suffers. But the good news is that God has granted us an opportunity to suffer in a way that is eternally meaningful. To suffer in a way that is spiritually significant. Something that no one else besides a child of God in Christ can experience is that God can use our sufferings for our good and his glory. Our sufferings, for one thing, make us come to know Christ more deeply because we join him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, I think this is why Paul requests or desires here the power first. I want to know Christ and the resurrection power so that when the opportunity arises, and it surely will, for me to join him in the fellowship of his sufferings, I can have the assurance of his presence and his victory with me. Now, there are several reasons why our suffering draws us into a deeper knowledge of Christ. First of all, suffering enables us to know Christ more deeply because it drives us to depend on him more fully. Suffering drives us into dependence. Friends, as I read about the state of Christianity around the world, in fact, a study just came out this week on the 20 places in the world where Christianity is spreading most rapidly, America is not on that list. The places where the church is thriving and the gospel is advancing in the world would surprise you. And the places where the church is declining, ironically, are the places where there is freedom, prosperity, and ease. Where is the church thriving? In places where Christians are persecuted, where there's virtually no religious freedom, where churches meet in secret, and so on. Why is that? How do we explain that? I wonder if liberty and affluence and social influence has the ability to lull the church into slumber. We become lazy. We begin to think we don't need to depend on the power of God every day for our survival and our existence. We begin to get comfortable with our status, with our influence, with our income, with our position, with our social acceptability, and we depend less and less on the power of Christ in our lives and in our churches. But in these other areas, these places where the church is thriving, there's no false sense of security in the things of this world because they don't have them. So there is only this one thing, and that is the rock-solid confidence that comes from knowing the resurrection power of Christ in their daily lives to give them victory over the sufferings that they face. So, let me just suggest that even though we don't rejoice to see the cultural climate changing in America, where Christianity is becoming more and more marginalized in our society, we have to appreciate the fact that this is not strange territory for God. This may be something that you as American Christians have never encountered or experienced before, but this is not something new for the family of God or His kingdom. And God is able to use all of this for His own glory. God is sovereign over it all. He's not been taken by surprise with any of it, and He's not rendered powerless in any of it. We are awakening to new and different and more difficult realities than we have ever experienced, but these are the things that Christians have experienced in other places throughout history. And what it means is that we are joining Christ in the fellowship of His sufferings and finding new opportunities and occasions to rest in His resurrection power. Suffering has the ability to kick the crutches out from under us and help us to see that the only real security that we have in this life and in this world comes from knowing God and experiencing His presence and power in our daily lives. So, first of all, suffering, knowing the fellowship of Christ's suffering, enables us to know the Christ of Easter more deeply because it drives us to depend on Him all the more. We also come to realize that suffering enables us to know Christ more deeply because it gives us a platform to witness for Him. Quite frankly, the world is not really interested in a Christianity that can keep you smiling when life is good. The money is good, everything is going our way, so what? You could believe in magic rocks or enchanted trees when life is good and still be happy about it. No big deal. But the world is suffering, and they're looking for something that makes life better on its worst days. And when the Christian is able to suffer and still demonstrate the peace of Christ in the midst of that suffering, that is when our testimony becomes attractive to the unbeliever. When the unbeliever begins to see our lives and our world encountering storm after storm and us to be able to still endure and persevere with confidence and peace because we know Christ, that's when they take notice. The Bible doesn't offer us a spirituality that exempts us from trials and tribulations in the world. In fact, the way I understand the New Testament, you better expect trials and tribulations if you follow Christ. But in the midst of them, you can still know the peace of God that passes all understanding and demonstrate Christ through your suffering to all that are watching you, all that are examining your life and in your faith to see if there's genuineness to it. His resurrection power is made more clearly visible in your fellowship with Christ's suffering. The Jesus who is worth suffering for and worth suffering with is a Jesus that the world wants to know. Finally, suffering enables us to know Christ more deeply because through it we enter into a special fellowship with Him. In Isaiah 53, the prophecy states that the Messiah would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with our griefs. I wonder, is He acquainted with your griefs? Have you invited Him in to your sufferings and said, "Join me in this, Lord Jesus. You're no stranger to it. You can come alongside of me in the midst of it." I find it ironic sometimes that people let suffering push them away from the Lord. We're all suffering, friends. The opportunity we have in our suffering is to come alongside of the Lord and suffer with Him As we suffer with Him, in fellowship with Him, we enter into a place in our relationship with Him that is a very meaningful and special place. He is with us as we suffer. That's something that we ought to consider ourselves fully blessed for. We're in fellowship with Him. We have a share in His sufferings because we know Him by faith as our Savior. He suffered for us. We have a share in His sufferings. He is willing to take a share in ours. We're in fellowship, the fellowship of His sufferings. Paul says in Romans 8, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, will any of those things separate us from the love of Christ?" No, he says, in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loves us. And he concludes by saying that he is confident that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All those manifestations of suffering can do nothing to us if we are suffering alongside of Him, if we invite Him in to suffer with us in fellowship with Him. We have a stake in His suffering. He is willing to take a stake in ours. So let me ask you today, have you come to know this Christ? The one who died for your sins and conquered death for you in the resurrection. And He offers you forgiveness if you'll turn to Him and place your faith and trust in Him as Lord and Savior. You can come to know Him. Know His fellowship in the midst of your sufferings and know the power of His resurrection. Many of you have done that. But like Paul here in our text, maybe now years or decades later, more or less, perhaps you say, "I don't know Him deeply as I would like to. I want to know this risen Christ of Easter. I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings and the power of His resurrection." So today, I want to invite you, no matter how long you've known Him, to just pray and say to Him, "Lord, I want to know You. I'm tired of just barely getting by. I'm tired of wave after wave of defeat in my spiritual life. I want to fully live the life You died to give me. I want to know You more deeply than I ever have before. I want to know the power of Your resurrection and want to know that You are with me in fellowship. That I have a stake in Your sufferings and that You have a stake in mine." I believe that's a prayer that God will always be faithful to answer. If you long to know Christ more intimately and are willing to embrace His fellowship in suffering in order that you might experience the power of His resurrected glory, you'll find that He never disappoints. Let's pray together.